At the end of this week's reading from John 17, 1 through 11, Jesus asks God to protect the disciples so that they may be one as we are one. If you ever look at the logo for the United Church of Christ, take a look at your bulletin, then head over to the back, and you see United Church of Christ and then a little tiny logo there. And if you can look really closely with your magnifying glasses, right across the bottom it says that they may all be one. The enduring motto of the United Church of Christ, that we all may be unified in, because of Jesus. And I wonder what has become of that unity over the years. Here's what seems to be the church's idea of unity. We disagree about political candidates. We disagree about the historical Jesus. We disagree about the wedge issues. We disagree about music styles. We disagree about worship settings. We disagree. And then we disagree. And then we disagree. And then we disagree some more. And today we are welcoming 10 new members into this disagreeable place. It's not a disagreeable place, but you get the pun there. Each of the students has written a statement of faith as to what they believe, talking about what they believe about God who created us, what they believe about Jesus who came to save us, what they believe about the Holy Spirit that's all around us. And listen to some of their thoughts. There are quite a few of them. God is still speaking. God never makes mistakes. God loves us even when we've done wrong, no matter what we do. God is neither male nor female. It wasn't an accident creating the earth. God created the world. God is loving, generous, and inspiring. Everyone has a relationship with God in their own way. God sends people signs to guide them or to give them comfort. God created other worlds and universes, and there are others right now in all the different worlds that are somehow connected once you're in heaven. God has given us everything we need and want. Jesus wasn't perfect because humans are never perfect. Jesus didn't judge and he welcomed all. Jesus taught a better way to live. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. When Jesus was here on earth, his mission was to show the people God's love. He was hated because of this. He was sentenced to death and forced to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. Jesus is always with you. Jesus cares for me and everyone, and he forgives all. Jesus is loving, courageous, and holy. We all have a little piece of Jesus in us. Jesus cares. The stories from the Bible about Jesus healing people and walking on water are real. Jesus will return to earth again at some point to help people and to remind them of the ways of God. He will be in a different form than he was before. I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime, though. Jesus loves everyone and rejected nobody. The Holy Spirit gives you a mind to think about the right choice. The Holy Spirit is on our faith journey. He guides us on our faith journey. The Holy Spirit is living in each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is always watching. The Holy Spirit can be motivating. The Holy Spirit passes through us when we do good things. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit protects those who don't believe in God because they too are God's creation and God loves them. The Holy Spirit keeps us from making bad decisions. It's our choice whether to listen to God or not. God is always there for me. But sometimes I do have my doubts. I always go back to God because I know he was and will be always there for me. God is trustworthy, patient, and worthy of praise. I could have listed another 10 minutes worth of the things that the students wrote, and I'm sure that you have agreement with many of those, and you disagree with some of those too. That's been the way that we have operated as followers of Jesus since the beginning of the church. Even in the Gospels, even in Acts, even in the letters of Paul, there are always disagreements about what does this mean? What are we supposed to do? In the Old Testament, there are disagreements about what to do. So I wonder, in all the things that we can disagree on, and there are many, what do we agree on? What are those things? And I know Jesus gave us those two most important rules. One is to love God with all that you are, and one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think there are some others, and I've mentioned these before. Right here, I've said things like, people should have enough to eat. You probably agree on that. People should have places to live. People should have access to medical care. All people should be treated with the same decency and respect. We don't always agree on how those things play out, but I think we have a general agreement on those. Love God with all that you are, love your neighbor as yourself, and everything else that flows from there. There was Augustine and John Wesley, two biggies. One is, you know, from a long, long time ago, and one is just from a long time ago. Here's they've both been given credit for this bit of sage advice when it comes to Christian unity. One is, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. So, when we agree, let's agree. If we don't agree, and it's not one of the really big things, let's let people believe what they're going to believe, and let's just agree to disagree. But in all things, whether we think it's a huge thing or a little thing, let's be kind to one another. Charity is a synonym for love in the context. Let's love one another. And I think that kind of advice is great advice. And I also think of it when I'm singing a line from a song that we're going to sing after the sermon. It's called Tambo, That They All May Be One. T-A-M-B-O. Here's a line from it. Still where two or three can meet, respecting their differences, there's no defeat, for the realm of God has come near. When we can meet, respecting our differences, God cannot be very far away. And I know that we have wedge issues that make us so angry that we want to fight with each other. But we can be unified even when we disagree with those things. Because we will disagree about issues like abortion, and we will disagree about homosexuality, and we will disagree about immigration, and we will disagree about stem cell research, and we'll disagree about the minimum wage, and the war in Iraq, and the Patriot Act, and No Child Left Behind, and the list goes on and on. And we'll even disagree as to whether the issues that we disagree on are fundamental issues, essential or non-essential issues. But what a testimony to the world it would be if, starting right here in our congregation, in our homes, in our community, and then extending out into our association, into the conference, into the whole church, the entire United Church of Christ, and the whole church beyond just our denomination, that we could love beyond any internal grievances and genuinely extend that love to everybody. Not just like, I love you, but I hate you, but really, genuinely love one another. So here's a challenge for this week, or for next week, if it's too hard to do this week, or for the week after, I'll let you decide. Spend some time listening to somebody you disagree with. And I don't just mean about what we're having for dinner, or whether or not you should turn left to go to, downtown, or right to go downtown and avoid the stoplights or whatever that is. I mean, significant issues. Spend some time listening to a person you really, really disagree with. And don't try to convince them that they're wrong and you're right. Just listen. Be genuinely interested. And then after they've talked about this significant thing with you, that you have asked them, tell me why you think that. Tell them that you love them, no matter what. Tell them that even if you disagree with them about the significant thing, you still love them. And don't tell your side of the story. It's really hard to do that. It's hard to invite someone and say, I want to talk to you. Because really, I want to talk to you means I got to tell you what I believe and you better agree with me. I'm that way all the time. At home, my daughter, we need to have a talk. Okay. And so I tell her what she has to do. And she says, Dad, respectfully, I disagree. And I'm like, that's not going to work here. And we want to do that. We want to do that all the time because our opinions are always right, aren't they? But maybe we should have at least the inkling that maybe we're not right about everything. Act, not just act, be genuinely interested in the opinion of someone else that you completely disagree with. It's hard during the election season, but Democrats listen to a Republican and don't try to convince them. And Republicans listen to a Democrat and don't try to convince them. And everyone listen to somebody, or more than one. And then, invite that person to church if they don't come here already. If they do come here already, then just ask them, you know, please don't hate me for asking that question. You know, please come to church on Sunday. But invite them to church. And then after you've done it with one person, do it with another person. Ask another person. You're going to find that it's going to get easier and easier to listen to people about the opinions that they have and to act with love toward them no matter what. And then after you've done it with two people, another and another. Same process. Same genuine love. Same invitation. See, I'm working that in there. Invite people to church, but start by going to people that disagree with you. And then after you've listened to them, invite them to church.
Say, our pastor says we should invite people we don't like to church, so I'm inviting you.
No, not that. We can be a church that shows Christian unity. We don't have to agree on everything. The confirmands don't agree on everything. But never did we berate each other over theological issues. Now, granted, the students did berate each other over the maturity level of girls and boys and stuff like that, but it was the whole different kind of a thing. When it came to theology, when it came to really, really big issues of life, we didn't have fights. We can do that in our church, and I know that we do that almost all the time in our church. We can do that in our community. We can do that throughout the life of the church in the world. We don't have to agree on everything. We just have to be willing to love God and to love each other so that we can fulfill the theme of the United Church of Christ, so that we can fulfill the request that Jesus had for God to the disciples, that they may all be one. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for unity. Thank you, God, for diversity. Thank you for giving us the ability to listen and to learn, to not always have our way. Amen.